the chief executive of the Harris Federation. Is a post such as that worth £500,000 per annum, Secretary of State?
My view has been that it's not really for secretaries of state to comment on individual pay arrangements of chief executives and of others. They have responsibilities through their governing body, through their trust.
You're relaxed about that sort of income, are you, Secretary of State?
It's a big salary, I'll give you that, but it's for individual trusts to make a determination as to whether they think that's a good level of pay. And they have to justify, obviously, to the public, to parents, but also to their board, how that represents good value for money.
I'm going to talk football matters in a moment. So first, let's start with the more celebratory one. Congratulations, your team, I understand, won its playoff. So you'll be very pleased with the constituents. Well done to Sunderland. Congratulations on that. I'm sure you gladdened your heart on the weekend. But I have to have a word with you, if I can, on the events that we witnessed in Liverpool. Is there any move forward? Do we know any more? Secretary of State.
As the Prime Minister said yesterday, our thoughts are with all of those affected following those terrible scenes. As you say, it should have been a day of real joy and celebration for people across Liverpool, and instead we've seen the day ending in utter tragedy. I want to pay tribute to our remarkable emergency services, to the first responders on the scene, and to the police, who will now be carrying out their investigation, and they will have our full support in doing so. And the community is really pulled together, and I also want to pay tribute to the community who have demonstrated enormous bravery and courage in the face of those appalling scenes, but especially those who responded so rapidly to make sure that treatment and support was available for those affected. And my thoughts are with them, and I hope, you know, we see news soon about many people making full recovery.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time talking about apprenticeships and joining us from that workshop. I'm surprised you haven't had to wear a hard hat. I'm just looking at the background. There's every bit of kit imaginable. Take care up there, Bridget Phillipson. Thank you, Secretary of State for Education, talking about the launch of apprenticeships. And I'll be asking you later in the show, actually later in the hour, I do apologise, if you had an apprenticeship, whatever it might be, carpentry, bricklaying, as the Secretary of State was saying, did it give you the career that you've now done? Jolly well, you might even move towards retirement in. We'll be looking at it later in the hour. We've got to 1 minute after eight. Let's get the headlines on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, dozens of people have been hurt after a car ploughed into a crowd at Liverpool's Premier League trophy parade. 27 people are being treated in hospital, including an adult and a child who were seriously injured. It's not being treated as terror-related. LBC's reporter Liam Gotting is at the scene.
Well, the chaos and carnage of what happened last night is still evident here on Water Street this morning. Broken glass, beer bottles, abandoned bikes and e-scooters all scattered in the road in front of me. Officers are lined up and down the street from top to bottom, and a huge blue and white forensics tent sits in the middle of the road as police continue their investigation. We spoke to Les, who was on Water Street and saw the whole thing happen. This is what he told us.
And people started panicking upstairs where we were, trying to get the building, because we were scared. But you don't like it. I mean, he's just gone, foot down, he's gone.
A 53-year-old man from the Liverpool area has been arrested and is still being held by police. Liam Gotting, LBC, Liverpool.
Ministers are pressing ahead with plans to scrap public funding for the highest level apprenticeships in England. They are shifting the priority to under-21s, with a promise to create more than 120,000 training opportunities by the next election. The Education Secretary, Bridget Phillipson, told Nick that it's a rebalancing of the system.
It's a big leap for young people. They leave school, they're perhaps a bit uncertain about what the future holds. But my message to young people is that we will provide the opportunities for you to get on in fantastic careers like construction and engineering, but it's for young people to seize those opportunities as well.
The British Medical Association has started balloting doctors for possible industrial action. Resident, previously known as junior doctors in England, have been offered an average pay rise of 5.4% this year. The Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, has urged them to oppose any walkouts. Nigel Farage will accuse Keir Starmer of being hopelessly out of touch with working people in a speech later. He'll also confirm Reform's commitment to scrap the two-child benefit cap and reinstate winter fuel payments for all pensioners. The Prime Minister's already announced a partial partial reversal of the policy without any further detail. The King is preparing to give the address at the state opening of Parliament in Canada. He will become only the second British monarch to do so after the late Queen in 1957. In the city, the FTSE 100's reopening at 87.12. It closed down 29 on Friday. The pound buys $1.35 and a euro 19. LBC weather, cloud and rain spreading across England and Wales. Sunny spells and showers in Scotland and Northern Ireland. A high of 19 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watt.
Barclays Ready Made Investments. The clue's in the name. Not Barclays Where Do I Begin Investments. You can start from £50. That's why they're not difficult to get started investments either. And you can choose your risk level. So they're hardly in at the deep end investments. So if you've got savings and you want to help grow your money over 5 years or more, then search Barclays Ready Made Investments. Make money work for you. Investing is not for everyone. The value of investments can fall as well as rise, and you may get back less than you invest. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 5 minutes after eight, Tuesday, May the 27th. Another day, another U-turn possibly on disability benefits. We've also already seen winter fuel, two-child benefits. We'll get all the details and then, more importantly, of course, ask you for your input on that later in this hour. Israeli airstrikes in Gaza killed 52, 36 in a school turned shelter. Pascal Quazard is an emergency coordinator of the charity Doctors Without Borders.
Here we are again with displacement orders. Here we are again with people fearing for their lives overnight. They're mourning so many more people than at the beginning of the war.
If you're an apprentice, what did it ever do for you? Do you owe your job, your career? Do you own the business you built up because you started out as a bricklayer, a carpenter, a sparks, an electrician, whatever it might be? Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson, just in the last hour, is extolling the virtues.
But my message to young people is that we will provide the opportunities for you to get on in fantastic careers like construction and engineering, but it's for young people to seize those opportunities as well.
We will, of course, return to that dark story in Liverpool if any more details emerge and continue to try and work out what went so catastrophically wrong. We also return to events last week at the White House.
Death. 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 Horrible death. Death. I don't know.
I think you've made your point, President Trump, but you're no stranger to hyperbole. So what is the truth as he confronted South African President Cyril Ramaphosa with death, death, horrible death? What is the true picture of the plight of white farmers in South Africa?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Great excitement with commentators and journalists alike. I don't know what you would call the collective noun for U-turns. Would it be a confusion, a puzzle, a bewilderment of U-turns? But are there some more? Is there another one on the way? LBC's political editor, Natasha Clarke, is in the studio with all the details. Natasha, good morning.
Yes, good morning. And of course, the government, we talked about this last week, the two-child benefit cap being on the table, and something that the government are very, very keen to look at in the light of the fact that they are facing a huge rebellion on benefits. To a speech by Liz Kendall, the Work and Pension Secretary, last week, where she was very clear this upcoming child poverty strategy that the government have now delayed into the autumn is very much on the table. That is something that they want to have a look at to try and put off this benefits row. And meanwhile, Nigel Farage, the Reform Party leader, parking his tanks firmly on Labour's lawn today. So the Reform leader is going to accuse Keir Starmer of being hopelessly out of touch with working people. I'm told it's going to be one of his most blistering attacks on the Prime Minister yet. He's going to dub him the most unpatriotic in history after signing those deals that we saw last week, handing the Chagos Islands over to Mauritius, and of course that deal with the EU too. I'm told that he's going to say that only he can represent the working class. He'll say, what does Keir Starmer know about people getting up at 5 a.m. to go to work, pay their taxes and still not have enough to pay the bills, while a family next door doesn't work and has more money in their pocket? This is not right or fair. So he's going to promise three big things. First, to scrap the two-child benefit cap. That's already hated by many Labour MPs, and that's something that there is potentially a U-turn on the cards on, I was told last week. Secondly, to promise to reinstate those winter fuel payments for pensioners. That's what Keir Starmer U-turned on last week. We don't have the details on that. I am told those details, Nick, not coming until the budget later this year. So we are going to be waiting a very, very long time for that, which makes no sense to me. I'm not sure why you would announce a U-turn without announcing when it's going to happen. And it means that for many pensioners, it's not going to come in time for this winter either. And third, an interesting idea from Nigel Farage today, tax breaks for married couples. He wants people to be encouraged to stay married and to have children. He believes that declining birth rate is something that politicians need to be tackling. And this is Nigel Farage's first major speech since winning that Runcorn by-election just a few weeks ago by just 6 votes. And speaking with LBC, just minutes after that win, Mr. Farage said working people were growing more frustrated with this Labour government.
Crucially, the things that switched a lot of old Labour voters to us in this constituency, number one, working people. They have alarms that go off in the morning. They cross the bridge and work in Merseyside. Mostly, the taxes they pay are going up and they wonder why they're doing it. Secondly, a feeling that somehow Labour is not a patriotic party. And thirdly, there are 750 young men who've crossed the English Channel living in this constituency at the expense of hard-working taxpayers, causing great alarm in many streets.
But speaking with you earlier today, the Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson accused him of having no idea what really working-class people wanted in this country.
But Nigel Farage has never been on the side of working people. He opposes the measures that we are introducing that will help working people. For example, our Employment Rights Bill that will give more people rights at work.
He doesn't agree with the two-child benefit cap, Secretary of State.
Well, he flip-flops on all of this. He's backed it in the past. And
doesn't your government flip-flop a bit?
They're not serious people. He's not on the side of working people. He doesn't back the NHS in its current form. Under reform, you would end up in a situation with the NHS not existing in the way that we know it today. And that is so critical to working people. They oppose employment rights. The only plan that they've got around education is to reintroduce tax breaks for private schools, something that would have a seriously damaging impact on our ability to deliver free breakfast clubs that will benefit families the length and breadth of this country.
So recent polling from YouGov, Nick, has put the party on 29%. That's the Reform Party, followed by Labour on 22%. It's clear that despite
the
government... Tories are on 16%, exactly. So, you know, they consider themselves to be the opposition now, Reform do. So this is going to be their first attempt to try and actually put themselves on a policy platform. But of course, they're going to face questions. How are you going to pay for it? This is the kind of thing that's cost billions and billions of pounds. And people, you know, call Nigel Farage a snake oil salesman because he doesn't have the plan to pay for it and actually say where on earth this money is going to come from. But with them doing so well in the polls, it's just going to put the pressure on them to actually say what they're going to do if they actually do get into government.
LBC's political editor Natasha Clark reporting. We'll hear more about the impact with someone from Trussell Food Bank in just a moment. First, let's go to James Mathewson, who was a spokesperson with the Labour Party, joins me now. The point that Natasha made, we're looking at possible three changes, one of which is a winter fuel payment, but we won't tell you more for a couple of months. This doesn't seem particularly clever stewardship, in my view. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. You're absolutely right. It's not clever. The thing is, if you're going to U-turn, you U-turn, you know? Mm. I mean, to kind of drive the metaphor a bit further forward, you know, you don't wait till the last minute, do
no.
you? You don't
if wait we were till going the wrong way up the M1, I'm going to turn around at Watford, not keep talking to you about it at Leicester and Sheffield. This is the reality,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly, that's the situation. I think people see this for what it is. It's that there's been an error. Labour's drifted away from its values in an attempt to try and appease or deal with the reform issue. Reform have totally pulled a blinder on them, to be honest, and said, oh, well, actually, on some stuff, we're going to be more left-wing than you. You know, when it comes to economics and some of the economic issues, we're going to pivot to the left because some working-class communities want to see that in the north. And they've totally been blindsided by it, and now they're trying to scuttle back and do this U-turn. But unless they show... they got it wrong and actually hold their hands up and say, look, this wasn't right, we're undoing it because of that, not just because of our electoral chances, then it's going to look entirely, disingenuous, I think, and people will see through it.
James, there's no measure for this, but how rattled do you think in some areas Labour is or Labour are by Nigel Farage?
More than they need to be, you know, and this is the thing. right? Because yes, that polling's scary. Yes, of course it is. But if you have your values and you stand on them and you stand a particular place, people are drawn to confidence, Nick. They like people who know what they stand for and represent. You look around British politics at the moment, what you are. I don't know what you mean or what you represent. I don't know what that is. And somebody without values or without a particular, you know, anyone who looks like they're a weather vane or go in any direction is not installing confidence in anybody, really.
James, I will leave it there. Line's starting to break up. Thanks for your time, James. James Mathewson was a spokesperson for the Labour Party for 14 after 8. Listening, Helen Barnard, who's Director of Policy at Trussell, of course, the charity working to end the need for food banks in the UK. What policies do you, the work that you and your colleagues so tirelessly do, what policies would you want to hear in this area? Good morning to you.
Good morning. So the three things that we really want to see are, first of all, calling a halt to the planned disability cuts, because about three-quarters of the people who come to food bank are disabled themselves or live with someone who is. And there is genuine fear out there among food banks and disabled people about what will happen if they get this the lifelines of the disability benefits pulled away. The second is looking at universal credit, because what's happened is there's no link in the system between how much universal credit you get and how much kind of basic essentials cost. And so it's kind of fallen to such a low level that we see people that even when we give them the advice about how to manage debt, how to get the benefits, how to deal with your housing, they still can't cover their costs. And the third, as you've been discussing, is lifting that two-child limit, which is the single most cost-effective way to lift hundreds of thousands of children out of really severe hardship and give them just a fair start in life.
Do you not think, Helen, there is some scope for reform? You'll be aware, perhaps, that there are 9 million people deemed economically inactive in the United Kingdom, 6.4 million of whom are on some kind of benefits. Is that not an area that, in some part, is detracting from those in genuine need?
Oh, we are absolutely in favour of reform. I don't know anybody who thinks the current system around disability benefits and employment is working the way it should be. I think, though, we need to be careful not to conflate cuts with reform. So if you look at what the Department for Work and Pensions was doing, they were coming up with some really positive, thoughtful ideas about how to get employment support working for disabled people, how to make it easier for disabled people to try out work, working with employers, because one of the big problems if you're disabled is finding a job locally that you can do alongside your health condition. All of that is great. The trouble is we then had the Treasury kind of driving a coach and horses through it, saying, no, we just need to get short-term savings. And what we see is that when you reduce people's incomes by that much, it actually pushes them further away from the labour market. Because if you're not eating properly, if you're in a cold, damp house, if you can't afford the bus fare to get to either a job interview or your hospital appointment, you are going to become less and less able to get out there and work. And it damages people, and that has costs for all of us.
All right. Before I let you go, Trussell, as busy as ever, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, we've just had our stats out. Last year, we provided nearly 3 million emergency food parcels. And for the third year running, it was more than 1 million for children. So we are deeply concerned about the hardship that's out there.
Helen Barnard, thank you. You're Director of Policy at Trussell. Of course, securing the food banks and the supervision of food, as you've outlined. 9 million people supposedly economically inactive. 6.4 million on some kind of benefits. Numbers that have to be addressed. The 8:15 LBC News headlines are read by Thomas Watts.
Four children are among 27 people in hospital after a car ploughed into crowds during Liverpool's Premier League victory parade. Ministers have promised 120,000 new apprenticeship and training routes for young adults in England. And the King will give the address at the state opening of the Canadian Parliament later. LBC weather, cloud and rain spreading across England and Wales. Sunny spells and showers in Scotland and Northern Ireland. A high of 17 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Traffic is being held on the M23 southbound just after the M25 junction. It's because a car broke down and there's been a fuel spillage. Lots of problems on the M25. Clockwise, traffic is being held at junction 6 at Godstone. That's where a car's broken down. Then there are delays anti-clockwise to junction 25 at the A10 following an accident. Two of the four lanes are closed. And long delays continue on the M25 clockwise to the QE2 bridge after that lorry broke down earlier. But all the lanes are now back open. On London Overground, the Weaver line remains suspended between Edmonton Green and Enfield. And also on the trains, Great Western Railway services are delayed between Redhill and Guildford following a signal failure.
This is LBC.
At Halfords, we want you to say yes to packing more into summer days with a great value roof box or bike rack. Say yes to freewheeling fun with bikes and gear for all the family. Say yes to a perfectly polished car with our range of car cleaning products. And say yes to easy breezy trips with a free aircon check. Our experts are on hand with checks, advice and fitting. So pop into your local store or shop online and say yes to summer at Halfords. Subject to availability, see halfords.com for full T's and C's.
This is LBC. Listen on Global Player or the new LBC app. Download it from your app store now.
In the time it takes to boil your kettle, you could find out if you can claim for a missold PCP agreement. Visit claimsforcars.com, answer a few easy questions, and you'll find out in seconds. If you financed a car between 2007 and 2021 and weren't shown different options or discussed dealer commission, you could have a claim. Claims for Cars is helping people get back thousands on a no-win, no-fee basis. Get the answer in seconds at claimsforcars.com.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shotterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand-finished and expertly installed. Make your home Shotterly Fabulous. So don't give up, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
For whoever they want to be in life, give them a great start with WellKid. Carefully balanced, great-tasting vitamins and minerals for 4 to 12-year-olds with specific nutrients such as zinc and vitamin D, which support normal immune system function. The WellKid range from Vitabiotics, from Boots, pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com.
Find out if you can claim compensation for a missold PCP agreement or a faulty DPF filter. Just visit claimsforcars.com and you'll get the answer in seconds.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Whichever way you look at it, 20 minutes after 8, whichever way you look at it, it does appear that Nigel Farage is making a lot of the running, the political running. The Conservatives are way, way, way out of the game. Did you see the idea that the solution might be the return of Boris Johnson? My goodness me, if that problem is that bad, that really is something. Although there's no interest in the Conservative Party. Lib Dems are rather distant as well. So is it all Nigel Farage? John's in Maidstone. What do you say to that idea? John, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Nick. Well, I totally support Nigel. He's saying what the working man want to hear. And to
tell me the things that were... You are, I assume... Well, I'm a working man, for that matter. You are a working man, so what are you hearing that you like?
Well, I'm hearing that he's going to put our country first when he gets...
What does that mean? What does that actually mean to you when you hear a politician? Because politicians love saying that. Donald Trump said it. Probably Emmanuel Macron, if he was allowed by his wife to say it, said it. So what does it actually mean?
Well, he's going to look at the tax threshold that we have to pay. It's not moved in the last two or three years. So gradually, we've all crept in, pensioners, and everybody's crept into paying more tax because I haven't raised $12,000. He's looked at, he's slaughtered the farming industry. You know, people are threatening to kill themselves before next April so they can hand their farm over to their family. And If to pay for these things, take Saddam's passport off him, because every time he goes abroad, he gives away our money. He gives away the money to Africa, Europe. Every time he goes on that,
other thing last year that Mr. Farage was very strong on after the by-election victory in earlier this month, and he may well return to that today. Is the fact that there are 9 million economically inactive people in Britain, 6.4 of whom are on some kind of benefits, and he will say how there is a class who set their alarm clock and it rings in the morning and they get up and they get on trains or buses or they walk and go to work. Is he on song with that message for you as well, John?
Yes, he is on song. And to help those people that want to work, let's help these small SMEs to give them tax breaks and apprentice type of support, so that if a person wants to work, whether it's two or three days a week initially to get them back into the sort of thing, there's support for them.
A lot of people would agree with that, John. I will leave it there. Listen to it on LBC, and of course the joy of this radio station is you can have your views and make your comments known immediately afterwards. Mark, you'll be the next caller on that. but to show that we are a true global show, we go elsewhere. And the horrors now of the latest Israeli airstrike killing is believed at least 52 people, including 36 in a school-turned-shelter that was hit, as reported, as people slept. It set their belongings ablaze. This comes from, of course, the local Hamas-run health authority. Moseb Elian and Farah Nazir were among those who were sheltering.
My wife, children and I were sleeping upstairs and we found everything falling on us, windows and stones. We ran out like crazy.
My little son, a year and a half old, was under the rubble. My husband was under the rubble. All our children were under the rubble.
To Riham Jafari, who's an advocacy coordinator at Action Aid Palestine, joining us from the West Bank. What do you understand, thank you for your time this morning, what do you understand to be the situation as regarding food, medical supplies in Gaza at this time? Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for having me. The situation is more than catastrophic. We are really unable to describe the situation. We are lost of words. There is a severe shortage of food, of water, ongoing displacement and evacuation order for the peoples to evacuate and to seek a safe place, while there is no safe place or safe zone in Gaza. The blockade of aid continues since the 2nd of March. Non-stop bombing for buildings, for shelters, for tents of displaced people.
Riham, can I pick up on that? Because we understand here in the West that while the blockade has been very severe, it has in part, has partially been lifted last week. Is that true?
There, according to media resources, that Israeli and U.S. plan yesterday resumed distributing aid in a way that violates the international law. And last week, there a limited number of aid trucks that were delivered to some bakeries in the middle and the south parts of Gaza, while the north areas did not receive anything. The new mechanism and the new scheme and the new plan, which was coordinated by the Israeli and the American, is violating the international standards of humanitarian aid, including independence and transparency and neutrality. And this mechanism was refused by the UN agencies and the humanitarian organization working in Gaza, because it strengthened and it encouraged people to leave their areas and it forced their displacement. And it is not safe. It is it lacks security. The people and the women and the children of Gaza do not need security vetting or security check. They need to be supported and to be protected. They need the war to end and they need urgent ceasefire.
Lastly, Riham, the way that the Israel authorities see the war ending is to seize complete control of Gaza. What would that look like, in your view, for the people there now?
So the people in Gaza want this war to end. This they want the starvation to end. They want to live a usual life. So they are under continuous bombing and displacement for more than 19 months. The people of Gaza need the world leaders, the world governments, to take action, to touch concrete action on the ground, to see an end to this suffering, to this misery, to their lives. Gaza is missing everything and needs everything. They need the restriction on aid to be removed. They need medical equipment, medical stuff to enter Gaza. They need everything. They need shelters. So they need action to accompany all the words and the statement released by the governments around the world to be translated on the ground and to stop this war, to stop this suffering, to stop this catastrophe that is unprecedented. People of Gaza live under under catastrophic humanitarian conditions for more than 19 months.
I'm grateful for your time. Thank you for your input. Reham Jaffari is Advocacy Coordinator at Action Aid Palestine, based in the West Bank. We come back to events here. You may well want to call on that, of course, this idea of the aid getting in, but nothing like in the amount that it's required. And, of course, Israel not shifting from its position that it wants total domination, wants to effectively own all of Gaza. We might come back to that. But we're talking about events here. We're talking about where the Prime Minister finds himself as a result of being pushed, perhaps in some way against his will, by reform. Mark's in Camborne. Mark, what do you think? What reforms do you think? Sorry, small R reforms are needed. Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Yeah, I normally talk to you about Grenfell, but it's about the winter fuel payment this time. Now, I'm on the cusp. I just lost the winter fuel payment last year. Rainer, Koonsberg, Badenoch, and Farage this afternoon, were all talking about this, restoring the pension credit, the winter fuel payment to pensioners. But none of them are mentioning pension credit. Now, I've applied four times. And, you know, you fill in a 14-page form, you wait 4 weeks, and the government has determined that last time it was 18260 a week that you go on. Because my pension is 18515, I'm no. So it's very, very simple.
What does that mean to you?
Well, it is what it is. You know, there's a threshold there. Why people are making so much fuss about it, it's very simple. And I think it was an incompetent thing brought in by Boris Johnson's regime, and that what Starmer has done is very sensible. And of course, you know, if Farage does it, then it shows that his regime will be incompetent too. So all Starmer has to do, which is what he said the word threshold, is raise the threshold to 200, say.
I hear what you say, but how much does that, do we have any idea what that would cost?
No, I wouldn't. No, sorry, Nick, I don't.
But, yeah, I mean, that is a reality. Obviously, that makes sense, and on paper it makes sense for you, but you now apply it across the whole of the country, and you just wonder what the cost will be, lastly, Mark.
Yeah. But, I mean, surely restoring 300 a year to all pensioners is way more.
All right. Well, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, there's so many, as they say, shoes to drop. We have to hear exactly what Nigel Farage says later this morning. And, of course, there'll be full coverage here on LBC. We then have to work out whether the government is actually looking at another U-turn. And, again, full coverage on that. Also, full coverage of a story. We go back in time. White House last week.
Death. 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 Horrible death. Death. I don't know.
I don't know. No stranger to confrontation, Donald Trump. This time it was the turn of South African President Cyril Ramaphosa. But what is the truth behind the plight of white farmers in South Africa? That's in the next hour. It's 8:31 now. Breakfast with me, Nick Farrar on LBC. Let's get the headlines. Thomas Watts.
Dozens of people have been injured after a car was driven into a crowd at Liverpool's Premier League trophy parade. Some 27 people were taken to hospital, including a child and adult with serious injuries. Apprenticeship funding is to be shifted away from high-level courses to focus on training at lower levels. Ministers have promised to back the next generation by investing in more courses for under-21s in England. Doctors have started receiving ballots for possible industrial action over their latest pay offer. Residents, previously known as junior doctors in England, have been offered an average pay rise of 5.4% this year. LBC weather, cloud and rain spreading across England and Wales. Sunny spells and showers in Scotland and Northern Ireland. A high of 17 degrees.
LBC.
The Red Cross is here to deliver essentials to people who have lost everything in Ukraine.
We are here to support families enduring the food crisis in Somalia.
We're here to shelter earthquake survivors in Turkey and Syria.
We're here for humanity. With your support, the Red Cross has helped millions of people in the UK and 190 other countries. Search British Red Cross to support us. Together, we are the world's emergency responders.
There's not many things as epic as jumping over a volcano in a monster truck or even swinging over a crocodile-infested river. But 15% off when you spend £15 at Mackey's comes pretty close. Deal drop. Redeem all week only in the app. 18 plus app only. One use per week until the 1st of June. Minimum spend and discount only applies to food and drink. Fees apply to delivery. Participation varies. T's and C's apply.
For simple, fuss-free pet insurance policies for cats and dogs, visit petsinapickle.co.uk. For actual pickles, try the supermarket.
So, close your eyes, picture the scene. Just you and me, alone, enjoying breakfast on our own little island. Sounds perfect, right?
Yeah.
Great, because I've booked Wickes to design our new kitchen.
At Wickes, we have 70 kitchen styles to choose from, with prices from under £3,000 to over £20,000. And with our spend and save offer, there's up to 50% off kitchen units. Book a free design appointment and feel as proud as a peacock with Wickes. Terms and minimum spend apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
8.33 is the time. Let's talk more about this because we did quite rightly cover the events in the Middle East, so we probably not looked at as much as we should at the events here in the UK. Who's been hanging on? Right, Billy, inventor on the Isle of Wight. You've been hanging on quite a while. Thank you for that, Billy. You want to talk about the Nigel Farage aspect of this. Good morning.
Hi, yeah, morning, Nick. It did raise my eyebrows a little bit, I must be honest with you. It's one thing pointing the finger and quite rightly making a number of statements about your opposition in another party, but to say that Starmer doesn't have any connection with the working people and doesn't know what it's like to get up at 5 a.m. is just, I mean, it's ludicrous at the least, but it's actually a lie, because Starmer was brought up in a working class household and he did climb his way to the top. Whether you like it or not, he does certainly know what it's like to get up and pay his taxes.
Why is he, Nigel Farage would probably argue, why is he presiding over a system where we have 6.4 million people who are on benefits out of 9 million people who can't work?
Well, see, this is where, again, the point, a stopped clock, as they say, is right twice a day. I don't disagree with the statement that you make there. You're not wrong twice a day. You're right mostly all the time.
Oh, I
love listening into you.
Very much
I just want to make that absolutely clear, and I'm not just saying that to blow smoke, but clearly there is a problem with the economical situation of inactivity. I mean, we've got 9 million people out of work. The voluntary sector contributes somewhere in the region of 18% to the economy. I say we give them a bit of get up and go, and they should go out and do a bit of volunteering.
You sound a bright bloke, an open-minded bloke. If the numbers tell the truth, the working man and woman of Britain, or certainly three-quarters of the country that had... I'm so sorry, 25% of the country that had local elections, the mayoralties and the people at the by-election, they do think Keir Starmer is not on the side of the working man or woman in the way that their vote has gone to reform. That's the reality. No?
I mean, I can't change, and the figures, you're right, the figures speak for themselves. Clearly, people have decided to vote with their feet, so to speak. But what I would say is, the fact that Nigel Farage was privately educated and earned somewhere in the region of £60,000 for working for that well-known news company, I think speaks for itself. You can't turn around if you're earning £60,000 a year for doing an hour on a TV show.
But the blokes in Runcorn don't make that kind of money. They are, again, to use it like, they're getting up in the morning, crossing the bridge and working on Merseyside. So they're the ones who put the Runcorn MP, the Reform MP, there for Runcorn. So surely they're agreeing more with what Nigel Farage is saying? No?
Well, it's not a matter of I don't think that they agree or disagree more with him. It's clear that they obviously do if they're voting for reform. But what they're probably missing here, and this is what I would argue, because at least the way I'm looking at it, is I'm thinking, well, hang on a second, you're behaving like a bit of a hypocrite, because you're saying that Starmer doesn't know what it's like to get up and go, and yet you get paid £60,000 a year for doing an hour on a TV show, and you get £12,000 a year, according to his latest expenses, for doing videos on Cameo. So, I'm sorry, it just seems, smells to me of hypocrisy to turn around and say that he doesn't know what it's like to work when he's from a very privileged background himself.
Billy will be listening carefully to that speech later this morning from Nigel Farage. Thanks for all the points you make, Billy. Only finishing to get more people on. Chris, you'll be the next caller, but let's get some of the social media and texts that are coming in. Anastasia wants to point out, being on universal credit as a person with a disability is not nice. I have severe cerebral palsy. The support to get suitable work is not there. Joe in Putney, what they never address about getting all of these inactive jobless people into work is that work does not pay. Pay rates are too low to cover basic costs, so people just think, why should they bother? So they stay on benefits that do cover these costs. Well, surely, Joe, that means the system has to be reworked. And there should be no ifs and buts about it. If you can afford, if you are able to work, you should, and there is a job, you should work. Alex says, it terrifies me how people are thick to believe the populist ramblings of Nigel Farage. He might actually spend some time in his constituency if we took his passport away. He has bought a home in Clacton, it has to say. At the same point, how a millionaire that attended one out of 42 fishing committee meetings for which he was an NEP can convince working people he's on their side is astonishing. Well, is it perhaps the failure of the others? Alex, instead of throwing stones at others, where they're failing? Chris in Irvine. Chris, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Morning, Nick.
Yes.
I believe the root cause needs looked at. Instead of just giving some pensioners some money, why don't we ask the energy firms to lower their prices?
Why?
Well,
why should it be... I mean, I'm not disputing that energy costs are very high, but why should it be down to E.ON and whoever else, Scottish Gas, to bail out the economy?
Well, Nick, 4 years ago, my electricity bill, or 5 years ago, sorry, my electricity bill was £700 cheaper. Why did it all of a sudden just go up?
Well, I don't know if it's all of a sudden. I think mine has been gradual, I suppose in part because of Ukraine, but other measures. But it's not the government don't set the electricity rate, of course, Chris.
Yeah, well, we were told if we left the EU, they could remove that. That was Michael Gove and Boris Johnston that says that. It never happened. They were in power.
Mm, okay. You want to go back to those fantastic days before Brexit?
No. And one other thing I would say is Nigel didn't buy that house. His partner did.
Okay. All right. I'm not sure. I don't know who's buying which house, but Chris, thank you. Let's go to some of the social media. I honestly don't think, Chris, that really it falls to to energy companies to bail out the British economy, if you think about it. Let's talk more directly how people are faring. Tony says, I work and earn £2,000 a month. My rent in the council house is £900 a month. Council tax, £190. Shopping bill, £400 a month. And then £100 for travel. But I don't work. If I don't work, I get my rent paid, tax paid, NHS dental free, travel half price, and £800 a month for free, and enjoy time with the family. So that's the reality. If Tony works, he gets £2,000 a month, pays £900 in council tax, £190 shopping, £400 a month. But if he doesn't, they pay the rent and he gets £800 a month. That is, I would argue, the system that needs to be changed. 840. Andy's in Paddington. Andy, you're on the radio. What do you want to tell me? Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Nick. Yeah, I just wanted to say I'm going to make a prediction for you.
Go on.
And I believe there's going to be a snap election, a vote of no confidence in this current government within the next 18 months, and I firmly believe reform
what makes you think
will
that?
Win hands down.
I mean, you're talking about a majority, even with the issues that he has, it's north of 150 the Prime Minister enjoys. Why on earth would he need to have a snap election?
I believe from Rachel Reeves' incompetence and stupidity in terms of what she's doing with the economy, I think there's going to be a huge recession come. Investment is low, the FTSE, there's no IPOs on the FTSE,
but
the whole country is in disaster.
But I don't know if that's wholly fair, but certainly some of the ingredients that you put forward seem valid. But tell me how you get to the point of him calling an election. How does that happen?
I think things are going to become economically inviolable within the next 8 months, and I think it'll be so bad that...
But why would he go, if it's that bad, why on earth would a Prime Minister risk his job, and indeed why would any of the Labour MPs risk their jobs by allowing that to happen?
Well, I don't think they're intelligent enough to realise what they're walking into. I think the whole country, the pressure on them will become that much that there will be inevitably a snap election forced upon them from the media, from the public.
Lastly, bear in mind that there would have to be a vote. I just don't see that he'd ever be that weak, lastly, Andy. He's got 100... Well, he did have 172. Let's say it's 160-something now. That's unprecedented.
No. I know, but we live in a strange times, and I firmly believe that's going to happen.
All right. Well, 18 months, where do we start the clock? Let's say, let's be generous and give you to the end of 2026. I don't think we'll be talking about that in Christmas 2026, but we'll see, Andy. Stranger things have happened. 8:42. That's not that strange, by the way. That's the time. Michael's in Muswell Hill. Michael, what can you tell me? Good morning.
Oh, Hi, Nick. You get a lot of callers ringing up saying, oh, Nigel represents the voice of the ordinary working man. I don't know what happened to the working women, but anyway.
Well, it's just a saying. Let's be fair.
It's just a sexist saying. But anyway, I'm a working man amongst all the working people of this country. And from my perspective, Nigel Farage's main contribution to this country is costing us £100 billion in lost GDP every year.
Why is reform so popular?
Well, I think people are not making a very simple connection. You know, he stands on the sideline and throws, you know, brickbats of the current politicians. He claims he's not a politician, so he's a career politician. And his one major contribution to our economy is to lose $100 billion a year.
You said that, but I don't understand why the party is doing so well. Is the country so, you're so bright and they're so stupid? Is that the reality of it?
I think $100 billion, you know, which has got about 11 knots in it, I think, Nick. But it happens to have one.
I hear what you say. Why does his message still resonate with so many voters?
I think because people do not hold him responsible. Somehow reform is a new party, actually.
But it doesn't matter whether you call it Brexit, UKIP, reform. It always does well in by-elections and indeed in local authority elections in UKIP's form. Always. So are you saying that these people, whether they vote Brexit, UKIP, reform, they're all wrong?
I think they do not make the connection. I mean, the OBR...
That's very dismissive,
and
isn't
they
it?
They say we're losing $100 billion a year. I mean, lifting the two-child cap is $2.5 billion. Brexit is costing us $100 billion.
Honestly, that's five times
you said that for me now. Is the current government having to deal with that economic reality.
But the reality you can't deal with is that for some people it works and they keep voting him or his parties or his representatives in.
And yeah, I know they do. Right. I know they do.
But then obviously his message gets through, doesn't it?
It's very easy to promise people Christmas every day, Nick. Of course it is. And that's what he does.
And the main parties, the Conservatives and Labour, they've been delivering Christmas, have they?
No, I think they've had. Oh, I mean, right. the current government is having to deal with the reality of what our economy is at the moment, and a significant factor in that is the fact that we're losing $100 billion.
I think that's seven times we've heard that number now. You have got the point across, but Michael, it respectfully, I think you need to go and talk to folk who are in Runcorn and other parts of the world. I hear what you say. The message works. There are concerns that reform has latched onto, that UKIP latched onto, that Brexit Party latched onto, that the main parties have utterly ignored. Does that make Nigel Farage right? Probably not. Does it make him a good human being? Possibly not. I don't know. But he's certainly more in tune. Just look at the last results. £100 million dent to the economy, I think you mentioned. It's 8:45, LBC News headlines, read by Thomas Watts.
27 people are being treated in hospital after a car ploughed into a crowd at Liverpool's Premier League trophy parade. Ministers are pressing ahead with plans to scrap funding for the highest level apprenticeships in England. And Nigel Farage will accuse the Prime Minister of being hopelessly out of touch in a speech later. LBC weather, most places seeing some cloud and rain with sunny spells in Scotland and Northern Ireland. A high of 17 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Lots of problems on the M25. Firstly, on the northern stretch, there are anti-clockwise queues to junction 25 at the A10. It's all down to an accident. Then there are delays clockwise to junction 6 at Godson after a car broke down, and it's still very slow on the M25 clockwise onto the QE2 bridge after a lorry broke down earlier. Lengthy delays on the A13 westbound to the Pitsey flyover, and that's because some power cables have fallen into the road. On the trains, London Overground services aren't running. This is the Weaver line between Edmonton Green and Enfield Town. On the Underground, there are severe delays on the Central line and also minor delays on the Metropolitan line between Baker Street and Aldgate.
LBC.
How likely is she to, you know, have another heart attack?
Can I still go to the gym after heart surgery?
Is my mum still my mum? If she has a new heart.
When it comes to heart health, no question is too big or small. That's why British Heart Foundation have dedicated cardiac nurses you can speak to by phone, email, or online chat.
Hi, this is Chloe from British Heart Foundation. How can I help?
Search BHF Cardiac Nurses.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973 LBC.
When you're sure you know the answer. When it's on the tip of your tongue. When you beat the buzzer and the contestant.
Get in the bag.
How did you know that?
Naturally brilliant, I guess.
Yeah, modest too.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels so you can play along with all your favourite quiz shows. Search TV licence together.
Looking for a fun-filled day out this spring? The O2 has it all. Catch the latest blockbuster at Cineworld or challenge your friends with interactive football at Toker Social. Take on darts, mini golf and more at Boom Battle Bar. Get active with a game of paddle tennis, climb to new heights or take flight with an indoor skydive at iFly. Feeling hungry? Choose from over 30 bars and restaurants and discover flavours from around the world. Search Do More at the O2 to start planning your perfect day.
Search Kayak for great deals on Wait, that doesn't say flights. Search Kayak for great deals on car hire? Huh. With Kayak, you can compare hundreds of car rental sites to find great deals. Even better, you see costs up front. And if it's flexibility you're after, Kayak's got a handy free cancellation filter. Lovely stuff. So next time you're searching for car hire, at home or for your holes, search Kayak and go see for yourself.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shutterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand-finished and expertly installed. Make your home Shutterly Fabulous. So don't dither, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Just coming up on 10 minutes before 9 is the time. Coming up after 9, by the way, we heard from the Education Secretary the importance of apprenticeships. The government talking about putting in more money, creating more apprenticeship possibilities. Do you own your job now? Do you own the business you set up? Maybe you are in some form of construction or an allied trade. You in electrical supplies, whatever it might be, engineering. I don't know, even do they have apprentice hairdressers? I'm sure they do. And you have a business now. What you learnt from your apprenticeships, we'll look at that. Now, that's a definite from the government. A possible is that they could scrap the two-child benefit limit. One paper, the Daily Mirror, reports that pressure is becoming almost unbearable now. Tensions, it says, are growing over the winter fuel payment and the planned disability benefit costs. Labour MP Stella Creasy urging the MP to end the two-child benefit limit, saying it would lift 350,000 children out of poverty overnight. Well, what's not to like about that? Let's turn to Conservative MP and Shadow Chancellor Mel Stride, who joins me now. You'd want to lift those 350,000 children out of poverty, I'm sure. So you would support this, Mr Stride? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. No, I wouldn't support it.
Oh,
but I do.
You want
to
keep children in poverty, Mr Stride?
Of course not. And under the last Conservative government, we substantially reduced the number of children that were in absolute poverty after housing costs, as we did for pensioners and more broadly for the population. But the way you do it, Nick, is you generate an economy that in which real wages are rising, and you encourage and have a benefit system that means that more people are going into work and less people are being on benefits. There are two problems with what is likely to happen here in scrapping this cap. One is the sheer cost of it, which is about 3.5 billion pounds. Now you have to compare that to the headroom, the fiscal headroom, the sort of margin of error, if you like, that the Chancellor has against her targets. That represents about a third of that margin gone straight away, and we know that that whole fiscal headroom is under severe pressure at the moment. But the second reason is, I think, a point of fairness, that many of your listeners may have taken a decision that they go out, they work hard, they're not on benefits, and they take a decision to have a large family, and often that's a really tough financial decision, and they accept that they're going to have to make sacrifices in order to do that. And I don't think it's unreasonable that if people are on benefits, that whilst for two children, the state will pay the support through universal credit, that it is capped at two children. I think that's the right balance in terms of fairness to taxpayers and those who have to take other choices when they're not depending on benefits.
A lot of Labour supporters would say these measures are only necessary because of the parlous state in which you left the economy and the fact that there was that £1 billion, I've not put a number to it, £1 billion black hole they were staring at. Mr. Stride.
Well, the £22 billion, Nick, actually, they conjured an enormous figure out of a hat, is the so-called black hole. The Office for Budget Responsibility, which is the independent government sort of watchdog of the finances, has comprehensively debunked that figure. What has actually happened here is that you had a government that came in, it slapped a lot of taxes on businesses. You just asked a moment ago, you didn't know whether hairdressers had apprentices.
Indeed.
Well, they do, but they're having rather less of them nowadays, and I spent time with hairdressers, four or five of them actually, that I visited in the last couple of months.
That's why you look so smart today.
Well, it is. It's a very fine haircut.
Indeed,
thank you so much.
And, well done.
Yeah, I was going to compliment you, but I thought that might be stretching.
No, I know. It's getting a bit Johnson-esque. This needs a cut, I think. Do go on.
Slightly, yeah. Anyway, the point that I was making is if you load businesses up with these taxes, they just employ less people, including apprentices. They then sort of borrowed huge amounts of money, went on a huge spending spree, which has been inflationary. So we've seen interest rates higher than they would otherwise be for longer, and they're adding to the national debt. The servicing cost on our national debt, Nick, every year, £100 billion. That's twice what we spend on defence. And part of the reason it's so high is they've driven up interest rates through inflationary policies. Now, you add all that lot together, and then you ask the question, can we afford to just spend another £3.5 billion on abolishing the two-child cap, benefit cap? And the answer, I think, is it's just overloading things far too much. They've got themselves into this mess, I'm afraid, of their own making.
On a sort of related question, Mr. Stride, why would it appear Nigel Farage is now leader of the opposition? The Labour Party seem far more concerned or aware of what he might or might not be suggesting than they are Kimmy Badenoch.
Well, I think the PM, you know, he's got his own political manoeuvrings that he's engaged upon, and obviously the spin doctors and strategists in Labour HQ think that that's the right thing to say. The reality is we were elected as the second largest party in the last election, admittedly a crushing defeat for us, but at the end of the day, the public were very clear they want us to hold the government to account as the official opposition. Now, we're talking about winter fuel payments, which we thought was totally the wrong decision of this government to means test that. Great cruel to many poorer pensioners. The bulk of the reason why they're now U-turning is because we have been an effective opposition, holding them to account on this and many other issues. And that is something that we're going to continue
place.
To do. Now, well, look, the polls are going to move around. Look, we have a very unpopular Labour government. We have a Conservative Party that was comprehensively beaten.
Right?
Well, has admittedly, I totally agree, a lot of work to do to regain trust and a hearing with the electorate. That will take time and we will get there. We now have Farage and Reform. They have a vacuum to sort of fill in that space. And they do it by running around promising lots of things to lots of people without thinking too much, particularly about how they're going to pay for it. So if Nigel Farage says today, as we expect, we'll scrap the two-child benefit.
You'll be caught on the hop again. Popularity
we're on
will
the right
grow.
Side. No, we're on the right side of the argument. So that's £3.5 billion he's just committed. It's a £1.7 billion price tag for winter fuel payments. In their manifesto, £140 billion worth of spending and tax cut promises, including taking everybody earning up to £20,000 out of income tax altogether. A £60 billion commitment, eye-watering, totally irresponsible. If you were anywhere near government trying to do that without a proper plan to fund it, we would all end up in a very dangerous place. And I don't say that lightly. That's just the simple facts.
Lastly, you have an article in one of the newspapers today, the Daily Mail. Rachel Reeves has attracted some interesting nicknames down the... I was going to say years. Not even years, is it? Down the months. She's now the tin foil chancellor. Briefly explain why, Mr. Stride.
Well, because she's just basically zigzagging all over the place. I mean, take
is that what
the tinfoil
fuel
does? Payment. Well, it folds. It folds, doesn't it? She says she's the iron
chancellor.
It's also
very tough.
You know,
And
very
and
tough.
And contends with heat.
Oh, tinfoil, no. You can take
does.
A sheet of it and rip it up into pieces, which is what she's doing to the economy.
Grateful for your time, Mel Stride. Thank you. Conservative MP, Shadow Chancellor of the Exchequer, pointing out the concerns over this two-child benefit cap. 350,000 children lifted out of poverty, but as Mr. Stride says or claims, his government was working harder than any others. Let's have a last minute or so on some of the social media and texts that have come in on this. We talked about the position in which Keir Starmer finds himself. Extraordinary political stability. Mark Sells in Cambridgeshire. In 2019, this is actually worth going over these figures. Well done, Mr. Sells. In 2019, Labour won 32.2% of the vote and was thumped. In 2024, they won 33.7%, i.e. 1.5 more, and enjoyed a landslide. The reason is obvious. Reform UK split the vote on the right, largely taking voters away from the Tories. It has suited both Reform and Labour for them to attack the Tories and not lay a glove on each other. Perhaps that mutual non-aggression pact is ending now. Ian says, how come whenever Farage is mentioned as economic policies, you never ask where the money's going to come from? The second someone suggests the government they're doing something good, you ask where the money is coming from. Please address this imbalance. Ian, let's hear how much money Nigel Farage would spend, and then I promise you we will look at that aspect tomorrow. There are figures that it could be like somewhere in the region of a £1.5 billion a year, the two-child benefit, in which case, of course, he has to say where the money comes from. Let's get one call in. Mark in Kenilworth. Mark, you're on the radio. You want to talk about the benefit. I'm so sorry, Matt. I misread that. Thank you, Matt.
Right,
yes. Sorry, that's my glasses.
Don't worry.
Go ahead, Matt.
I've been called worse things in my life, anyway.
You and I both. What is the point you want to make about benefit cap?
I'm a yes and no on it, but what about the parents who are involved with one child? It's not going to talk them out, is it?
Oh, I'm sorry, whether you're Matt or you're... Let's try one last time, Matt, not least because I've got your name. This is a terrible line. Let's try one last time the point you want to make.
It's about the child cap, and
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Matt. Having got your name wrong, we're now going to be able to hear what you say because the line's too bad. Let's offer him the opportunity. We'll find a way to fit him in, because it's only fair. But in fact, we have come to the end of this hour. We'll try and fit you in. The music means we are moving on, and we're talking about apprenticeships. Apparently, it can be everything from hairdressers to engineers via electricians. And, of course, carpenters, extolled by the Education Secretary, Bridget Phillipson.
But my message to young people is that we will provide the opportunities for you to get on in fantastic careers like construction and engineering, but it's for young people to seize those opportunities as well.
Plus, we will go back to the tragedy that played out. A day should have been an absolute joy and celebration turning into tragedy in Liverpool. And you remember that British MP who's completed a record-breaking Everest ascent, Al Carnes, the Veterans Minister? He was with us just days before he went off. Well, he's done it. He's broken every record going. And he'll join us later in the hour to explain just how he achieved it. 9 o'clock news is next on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, two people are in a serious condition in hospital after a car ploughed into a crowd in Liverpool. A total of 27 people, including four children, were taken to hospital from Liverpool's Premier League victory parade yesterday. A 53-year-old local man is being held by police who aren't treating the incident as terrorism. Liverpool's city council leader is Liam Robinson.
Everybody's deeply shocked and really upset, and our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody that was affected, particularly those people that are particularly poorly in hospital. Do want to put on record my sort of thanks to the emergency services. We're working really, really closely with Merseyside Police.